So Father, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we command ourselves to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Father, I thank you that the season that we're in and what we're moving into is going to be a season of great, great, great fruitfulness, Lord God. And where the enemy has assaulted your people, hindered your people, wounded your people, God, I decree supernatural victory and breakthrough in their lives like never before. Father, I decree over their lives what you said in your word, that they are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and that no weapon formed against them will prosper, and every tongue that will rise up against them shall be condemned, Lord, because this is their heritage, Father. This is what you have promised them, Lord God. This is their divine inheritance, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you today that you are the great God of heaven and earth, that you, there is no shadow of turning with you, that you are faithful, that you are kind, that you are loving, that you are all-powerful, that you are omnipotent, Lord God. And there is no God like you in heaven above or earth below. And so, Father, we thank you today, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today our topic is unforgiveness or forgiveness. This is, I would say, in my counseling and all my counseling and coaching in the last 5 years, this is probably the number one thing that I have dealt with in the lives of people. And sometimes what makes it such a deadly thing in the life of a believer is because it gets so buried that we don't even know how to. We don't even know how to access it. People are always like asking me, well, what's wrong with me? How come I'm going through this? And unforgiveness is one of the number one ways that the enemy can wield his power against us. In Matthew 18:35 talks about, at 18, it talks about the unjust servant was forgiven a lot. And then the Bible says, because he wouldn't forgive, that he was turned over to the tormentors. Unforgiveness gives the enemy legal right to traffic in our lives, because he traffics in darkness. He traffics in areas that are unidentifiable, that we usually don't know how to access that information. And we, you know, when we have unforgiveness towards somebody, we usually forget all about the event. It could have happened when we were 10. It could have happened when we were 20. It just gets buried somewhere along the way. And then we have to uncover that, because my model, my ministry model, is get to the root of it. If you kill the root, you kill the fruit. And so forgiveness. Forgiveness is positional. It is not based on circumstances. Like we put, as Christians, we position ourselves to forgive no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, no matter who offends us, no matter who hurts us. We are positioned to forgive. And many years ago, I haven't always been like a person that forgave. Many years ago, I was bound in a spirit of offense. I was offended at my pastor. I felt like he didn't handle a situation correctly. I was offended by the people that I was co-laboring with, singing with, worshiping with. I was offended. And I remember I had stopped going to church, and he came on. He was on TV at the time. And his show came on, and I lived about an hour away. But when his show came on and he started talking about forgiveness, I was like, I just told my kids, get dressed, we're going to church. And he was talking about forgiveness. And he said, if we don't deal with our adversary quickly, we need an anointing to set us free. And he laid hands on me, broke the spirit of offense off of me, and I have not been offended ever again. It's not that I don't get hurt. It's not that I don't get angry. It's not that I don't get upset, but I don't harbor bitterness and resentment, because I understand the demonic power of it and how it can destroy a person's life. So I'm gonna give you some definitions. Forgiveness is giving up resentment against someone. Is you're giving up your right to get even and hurt them back. So forgiveness means that you relinquish your right to retaliate, whether it's physically or verbally or spiritually. We relinquish all power to retaliate, because we believe that God, the Bible says that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So we believe that God will handle the matter and that there's nothing else that I need to do. Unforgiveness is a result of an offense, is a deliberate, willful refusal to give up one's resentment and the right to get even based on the attitude that someone has to pay for their wrongdoing. So unforgiveness is that I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to get you back. You're going to pay for everything that you did, and you are not going to get away with it. And that is such a deadly place to be, because when we get offended, we have two options. The first one is to release it and let it go. And the second option is to capture it. So forgiveness, the word forgiveness in the Greek literally means to release, to let go. And one of the Psalms says, great peace have them that love the law and nothing shall offend them. When we position ourselves in Christ and in the word, it's not that people are not going to hurt us. It's not that people are not going to do harm to us. It's that we've positioned ourselves to forgive no matter what comes down the pike, no matter what happens to us. It doesn't excuse somebody's behavior. I just relinquish my right to retaliate because the Lord said, vengeance is mine and I will repay. And so I trust that no matter what you did, that God will repay the offense. And no one, and we have to understand that in God, God is merciful and God is gracious, but no one gets away with wrongdoing. We don't get away with it. We pay for it in some form or another. Thank God that we have mercy. The Bible says that it is because of the mercies of God that we are not consumed. So we are positioned under the backdrop of mercy that we don't get everything we deserve. And so if we don't get everything we deserve, because I'm sure we've offended people or we've hurt people or we've done people wrong, they're not going to get everything they deserve either. So we have to trust that God is going to pay what he believes is right. And so the word offense comes from the Hebrew word scandalon. And we get our English word scandal. And it means to cause to stumble, cause to sin, cause someone to become indignant and angry. It means to shock or offend or to set a snare or a trap. It literally means to set a trap. So when we get offended or we get hurt or somebody wounds us, it literally is a trap of the enemy. And we have the opportunity and the power to say yes or no. I'm gonna get offended or I'm not gonna get offended. I recently had to walk through an offense and it was something that I felt was like, wow, we were friends and you would do that to me. And I literally went and walked around my home and I just began to, Lord, I acknowledge the hurt. I acknowledge the betrayal. I acknowledge what happened and I release it. And this was my conversation with myself and with the Holy Spirit. I release it. I give it to you. I ask that you heal the hurt. I ask that you forgive me for partnering with it in any form. And I give it to you. And so I've learned to walk through offense and unforgiveness very, very quickly because I don't want that operating in my life. And then 20 years down the line, I forget about what happened and it's still operating because any offense or wound that's undealt with leaves an open door for the enemy to attack you, hinder you, assault you, and to keep you in the same place. It's an area of darkness. The enemy travels in darkness. He traffics in areas of darkness. And that's why unforgiveness is so, so deadly in the life of a Christian. Matthew 6, 14, 15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that's a very hefty word. That's a powerful word that Jesus died so that we would be forgiven of sins. And we have 1 John 1:9 that when we sin against the Father, that we can go and ask for forgiveness. But in Matthew, Jesus is saying this, if you don't forgive others their sins, then your father will not forgive you of your sins. And that could be scary. And so we forgive not just for other people, but for ourselves. Matthew 18, 19 says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. So a person offended is very difficult to reach. When people are hurt and wounded and offended, they become extremely hard-hearted and defensive and angry and upset and bitter. The Bible says that roots of bitterness defile everyone around them. All of us have been around angry, bitter, resentful people. I can tell you somewhere in there is unforgiveness. And Daniel 9:9 says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. So God, his nature is mercy. His nature is forgiveness. His nature is righteousness. His nature is holiness. So when we refuse to forgive, we violate God's very nature. Because he wants to forgive us. The Bible says it is because of the Lord's mercies. I think I said this already, that we are not consumed. And so I want to backtrack, even though we talked about anger in a previous video, I just kind of want to backtrack because I thought this was powerful. I saw this on the internet and it was talking about how anger is a twin power with other emotions, because one of the things that comes out of offense is the option to be angry or indignant. And so anger coupled or paired with hatred produces rage. Anger paired with bitterness produces revenge. Anger and worry produces a double-minded, makes you double-minded or divided. Anger with confusion creates turmoil and indecision. Anger with insecurity, this is powerful, produces manipulation and control. Anger and stress produces physical, mental, or emotional breakdown or burnout. Anger with resentment, revenge, anger with fear, irrational responses. Have you seen somebody that is paranoid and they operate in fear? Anger is in there somewhere. Anger is it's like a root issue. Anger and sorrow produces disorientation and the inability to function, or what we call depression. Where there is someone that operates, that is always depressed, there's anger in there somewhere. Anger is a very dominant emotion. It's a secondary emotion that produces negative outcomes in our lives. That's why the Bible says that anger, but sin not. So we're going to get angry because we're humans. If somebody does something intentionally to hurt us, if someone does something accidentally to hurt us, well, anger is part of that, our response. If someone is doing something to us harmful, but we are not to capture that offense, capture that anger, and we are not to live with it. We have to learn to release stuff quickly. And I think that was the best thing I learned in counseling. What I learned and what it gave me was tools to be able to navigate through life successfully. Wisdom is the ability to live life successfully. God said, if any man lack wisdom, then all we have to do is ask God. And so when there's negative emotions in there, unprocessed emotions, it's very difficult to live life successfully. There is always something in between us and our destiny and our purpose when we are harboring unresolved emotions. And I want to talk on this because the core of who I am is really a businesswoman. And so we're going to launch into business strategies next week and leadership stuff over the next few weeks. But we have to get our mentals right. We have to get our emotions right. We have to get our heads together, because it doesn't make sense to advance in God and then end up bankrupt in a year because we couldn't manage our emotions or manage our things, negative things that have happened to us. We have to put those things to death. I love the scripture. It says that those that are Christ crucify their flesh with all its passions and all its desires. That means everything in us that can hinder the flow, the move, the will, the purpose, and destiny of God needs to be put to death. And that is something that I live by, because again, it is one of my greatest desires to fulfill purpose. It is one of my greatest desires to complete my assignment in the earth, to do everything that God sent me here to do. There is such a deep satisfaction in fulfilling the will of God on a person's life. You can tell a believer that is out of the will of God. They struggle emotionally a lot. They struggle a lot with negative emotions. They struggle a lot with fear. You struggle with feelings of just feeling displaced and not satisfied. Because it is very satisfying to fulfill the will of God and to be in the pocket. I've been out of the pocket and I've been in the pocket. It is just so uncomfortable to be out of pocket for me. Because in the will of God, there's peace, there's joy, there's satisfaction, there's fulfillment in life. And I love to stay in that pocket with God. And so that's why I'm really big, especially in coaching and training, I'm really big on getting our emotions together. And I've talked about this over the last 5 years since I, launched my coaching company, is that let's get it together emotionally, especially women. We really got to get it together emotionally, because we can be very irrational and very emotional. And we learned that in one of my favorite scriptures, the Bible says that we are strong in Him. I'm not strong in myself. I am strong in Him and in the power of His might. And when I stay in the place of communion, because the deepest place of relationship with Christ is communion. It's like being with somebody that you know really well. You can almost guess what they're thinking or guess what they're feeling without them ever speaking a word, because you're in such deep relationship that you can feel what's going on with them. And that's the way it is. It should be with us in Christ, is that we are in communion with Him, that we are in deep relationship with Him. And I don't like being out of that space. So unforgiveness, I just want to expound on unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, it is not defendable if you are a Christian. If you are a Christian and you have accepted Christ and you are saved, there is no excuse for unforgiveness, because Jesus's primary assignment, one of his primary assignments on the cross was to forgive the world of sin. And so because we are like Him, we have been made in His image, in God's image, in God's likeness, and Jesus is God in the flesh. Unforgiveness as a believer is not defendable in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are compelled to forgive. We have to forgive. There is no excuse to hold somebody hostage with bitterness and resentment, because Jesus died. And Matthew talks about a person that was forgiven a great debt, and you were forgiven a small debt, and you can't forgive a person a small debt. We were forgiven for every sin that we would ever commit in our entire lives. All we have to do is ask God to forgive us. We can just slip into the throne. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that we can go to the throne of grace anytime we need to. God has an open door policy. The next thing about unforgiveness is it is self-imposed bondage. I've met people and talked with people like, well, I'm never going to forgive them. I'm never going to set them free. I'm never going to release them. There is nothing that anyone has ever done to you that has not been covered by the blood, that has not been washed clean by the blood. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them whiter than snow. It is not our responsibility. If a person sins against you, it is not our responsibility to make sure that person is right. It's just our responsibility to release them into the will of God, release them into the goodness of God, release them into the mercy of God, because it is self-imposed bondage. We keep ourselves from so much when we harbor bitterness and resentment. We keep ourselves from fulfilling purpose. We keep ourselves at a peace. We keep ourselves at a healthy relationships. It destroys relationships. One of the number one things that destroys marriages is unforgiveness. Remember when you did this 20 years ago? Remember when you said this to me 10 years ago? We harbor all these hurt and wounded emotions, and we feel like when we're harboring unforgiveness, we feel like we're hurting that person, not realizing that we're hurting ourselves. Because people think that if they forgive somebody, that that's letting that person off the hook. And many of you have heard this, but someone said, it's unforgiveness is like drinking poison, thinking you're going to kill the other person. When we forgive somebody, it does not let them off the hook. We are releasing them into the will and the hands and the retribution and the vengeance of God. And it is his responsibility. He chooses how he's going to deal with every person. Some people get back what they pay. They really get paid back what they did. Some people, God extends mercy to them and an opportunity to get saved. You know, there was a mass murderer, a serial killer, and I believe in the 80s, I believe it was about in the 80s, his name was Son of Sam. And he killed maybe 16 women. He raped and murdered them, ended up on death row, but he ended up getting saved. And he became what was the Son of Sam. He became the Son of Hope because God had mercy on him. It would never bring back the people that he murdered, but God still saved his soul. Now, did he still die on death row? Yes, he did. But he knew that even though he had to pay the price for his sin, that he was going to be with the Father when his spirit left his body. That sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, that when someone wounds us or harms us or does something intentional to us, because some things people do are intentional. They're trying to hurt you. They're trying to wound you. That it's a hard pill to swallow. It's a hard concept to grasp that God could forgive them. Remember Jesus on the cross said, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. The next concept of unforgiveness, it cancels out the work of the cross and neutralizes its power. When we don't forgive, we cancel out access to the power of the cross, because the cross is everything about redemption, is everything about forgiveness, is everything about release. The Bible says, even in a church setting, that if you have an ought against your brother, or if your brother has sinned against you, that you go to your brother and you make it right to your brother. You lay your gift at the altar, you go make it right with your brother, and then you come back and bring your gift. God will not even accept your offering or your gift if you're harboring resentment or unforgiveness towards somebody. It is a big, big deal. And I feel like that before we launch into business, and I'm gonna give everybody an exercise when we're done, that before we launch into business, because I believe that I know we're in one of the greatest times of the end time transfer of wealth that we've ever experienced. And if God has given you a business, like my publishing company is just booming. I'm getting book after book after book after book, more than what I can handle right now. It's an abundance for me because I know that God wants to prosper me, but God wants to prosper you too. And we don't want to leave any opportunity for the enemy to hinder us in the blessing of the Lord and the advancement of the Lord and your purpose and destiny. The Bible says it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so as we move into purpose and destiny, we want to make sure that our hearts are clear. When I quit my corporate job, it wasn't an easy quit. It was a mutual ending of the relationship. It wasn't handled right on their part. And I was offended and I was hurt. But a week after I quit, I went to what we have called the healing rooms, and I went to help somebody walk me through that offense because I knew that I could not go into this next season of my life offended and wounded by my employer. And every time I would drive by, it was a large organization, so they had many buildings, especially in Southern California. And every time I would drive by that building for a while, it was like my heart would just like, oh. You know, it was still there. And then now, and then the time came when I would drive by there and wouldn't feel a thing. And now I'm so grateful for the break. I'm so grateful that I moved on. It was time for me to move on. But sometimes the enemy will capitalize on a due season to wreak havoc in your life so you can't be successful in the next season. So the enemy wanted to get me offended and wounded and hurt and bitter and resentful so I couldn't prosper in this next season of my life. This last 5 years, it's been 5 years since I left. This last 5 years has been one of the most prosperous and successful and abundant times that I've ever experienced in my whole life. And I have not worked for a company in the last 5 years to where I got benefits, all this kind of stuff. You know, I'm a contract employee at my church because I'm a pastor at my church, but I have worked for myself for the last 5 years, and I have watched God prosper my business, prosper the work of my hands. But if I had been harboring bitterness and resentment, that would not have happened because Satan could hold that up and block it. Because when we walk in unforgiveness, it neutralizes our faith. We lose the ability to believe God. Because God can no longer hear us. There is a breach between us and God because he cannot hear us when we are harboring bitterness and unforgiveness. I remember the prophet that trained me, he said he saw a thin veneer hanging in the heavenlies, and it had cars and houses and all types of stuff in it. And he said, this is what people stop believing me for. And so an offense is a direct assault against your faith. The Bible says those that come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. And that's not just a message that you hear people say all the time because they want your money. He really wants to prosper you. He really wants you to live an abundant life. He said, Jesus said, I came that you have life and have it more abundantly, overflowing to the full. He wants you to enjoy your time down here on earth. It would be a tragedy if you were miserable your whole earthly life and then you go into heaven and you've never accomplished anything. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And we are going to stand at the white throne of judgment and give an account for our lives. God, I finished this. God, I completed this. God, I did this. God, I left behind a legacy. God, I raised my children in the fear of the admonition of the Lord. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of God, Christ, and give an account. And I don't want, who would want, it would be horrible to stand there empty-handed because we allowed ourselves to stay bitter our whole entire lives. The next thing about unforgiveness is it produces broken fellowship with God. I already talked about that, but just think about that. God cannot even commune with us when we are harboring bitterness and resentment and anger that comes with all of that. We can't even have a relationship with him. It really blocks him out. It is a barrier to peace, prosperity, and prayer. So when you are harboring bitterness, you don't have any peace. Prosperity is not about money. The actual Greek word prosperity means a good journey, a prosperous journey, that you would have a good life. Like if I die 10 years from now or 3 years from now, I could say, you know, that I had a good life, you know, that I accomplished a lot of things in life. So God wants you to have a good journey. And it stops us from praying because our relationship is broken with God. How can you pray to somebody where there's a broken relationship? It's just like in the natural, when we're mad at somebody, it's very difficult to communicate with them. And therapists say that 90% of, and it has to do with our health. I can't tell you how many people's health has been affected by just negative and broken and wounded emotions. Most therapists say that 90% of the people they treat have an unforgiving spirit. They are mad at, or offended or hurt at somebody. And I believe that unforgiveness is a lot. Actually, I know that it is a lot of the sickness and disease that we deal with. I don't know if I shared this on this podcast, but I know I've shared it before, but there was a man that came to my house. He was diagnosed openly with cancer, was getting ready to start. This was a Saturday. He was getting ready to start chemotherapy on Monday. They already x-rayed him, ran the test, did the biopsy, confirmed cancer. We walked him through a process of forgiveness. Something happened in his life. He was angry with himself. Because forgiveness is forgiving yourself too. It's not just releasing people, it's releasing you from any failure, any offense, anything that you felt like you've done wrong. We have to release ourselves too. He laid on the floor and that man wept and he cried. We laid hands on him and prayed for him and sealed that thing in the blood of Jesus. He went to the hospital on Monday and they could not find any cancer. No cancer. They're like, we don't know what happened between now and Friday, but your cancer is gone. Unforgiveness opens a door to sickness and disease like nothing people ever would ever experience it. It opens a door. Cancer, autoimmune disease. Fibromyalgia is an autoimmune disease. Lupus, an autoimmune disease. I know that there are some diseases that happen because maybe there's a family weakness or family curse or it's inherited or whatever. But 90% of stuff, sickness and disease, is because our emotions are out of whack. And when the thing that makes God so powerful is he doesn't need anything outside of himself. And so when we control our emotions and we get our emotions in check, we are immovable. We're the scripture that says immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are absolutely powerful and unable to be defeated when our emotions are under control. Nobody can move you. Nobody can get you off of your game. Little people hold grudges, little people backbite, and little people gossip and retaliate. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so how to heal? I always like to give people a resolution, because we can talk about all this stuff and I could say, pray for you and say, thank you, God. Okay, we're done. See you guys next week and leave you stuck there. But I always like to give people a resolution. So how do we heal from unforgiveness? The first thing is acknowledge the offense and the hurt. Stop replaying it and rehearsing the story. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have them which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So the word of the Lord is a powerful tool and operative in overcoming offense. But we acknowledge it. Like I said, when I was offended, I'm like, God, I acknowledge that this hurt me. I acknowledge that this caught me off guard. I acknowledge that I'm shocked that someone that I thought was my friend would do that to me. I acknowledge all that. And then I released it. And sometimes we stay in a place of unforgiveness and hurt and woundedness because we keep repeating the wound over. It's like picking the scab off of a sore. If we keep picking the scab off of a sore, it takes longer and longer and longer for that sore to heal. And sometimes it doesn't. It never heals. And so when we keep rehearsing our story over and over and over and over again, we are just rehearsing bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment. It's time for you. If you've been in that place, it's time for you to rewrite your story. Because it doesn't matter where you started. It matters where you finished. Rewrite your story. What do you want your life to be? And as long as we're alive and breathing, we have the power to rewrite our stories. We don't have to experience. We don't have to live out the things that were done to us. Like there was a woman, there was a church, that was a church service I was at many years ago. And the pastor was teaching and he said his wife was raped at gunpoint. He said, but you could see no trace of it on her. Because when we forgive and we release, there is something that comes over us that completely moves us away from the offense and the hurt and the wounded and the woundedness. And it's almost like the event never happened. And that is so powerful. There are things that happened to me in my life as a child, as a young adult, that when I look back at my life, it's almost like these things never happened. It's almost like I'm looking at somebody else's life, not my life. And that is through the power of forgiveness. The next thing is that we confess it. We declare our guilt in partnering with it, and we surrender it to the Lord. The next thing is we acknowledge it as a violation of the word of God. We acknowledge harboring with unforgiveness and resentment and anger. We acknowledge that we violated the word of God, because the Bible says, if you don't forgive, then I can't forgive you. acknowledge it as an act of rebellion. I remember a prophet was in a dream. I don't know this prophet, but they were praying for me. I remember I'd gone to them in a dream, a very well-known prophet that I do not know, and I asked them to pray for me. And he said, I'm going to pray for you, but I can't deliver you from a demon you're partnering with. And so in the dream, I came out of, I said, it was anxiety and fear. And I said, I break my partnership with you in the dream. And it came off of me. I tell people, I don't know if it came out of me or off of me, but it was sitting right in front of me. And it was so ugly and so hideous. And it was just staring at me, but it was no longer influencing me or tormenting me, because I broke, and I wrote a blog called It's Time to Change Partners. I broke my agreement with it, so it no longer had power over me. And when we're operating in unforgiveness, we have to break our agreement with and acknowledge that it is an act of rebellion against God. Because he forgave, we have to forgive, because we carry his nature and his likeness. We were created in the image of God, and so we forgive like he forgave. Understand that forgiveness is his will. I know so many times, like walking people through forgiveness is that they feel like the other person is going to get off the hook, that they're releasing them from, oh, you know, they did this to me and I have to forgive them and nothing's going to happen to them. But just like I talked about in the beginning, people get what they deserve, or people get what they sow. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to forgive, because forgiveness is a supernatural act. We don't have the ability to forgive in our own flesh, in our own nature, in our own ability. We don't have that. That's why we need the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit to ask, to help us forgive, because it is a spiritual condition. Unforgiveness and bitterness is a spiritual condition. It's not an emotional condition. It's not a human condition. It is a spiritual condition. If the person is repetitive, and I want to kind of park here for a little bit. Sometimes we're in relationships with people that keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. We forgive them over and over and over again, but the behavior is repetitive. If it's repetitive and the person is unrepentant, it may be important to sever the relationship, whether it's temporarily or permanently. If someone keeps doing the same thing over and over again to you, you have a right before God to break relationship. I remember the Holy Spirit told me that passage about turning the other cheek. He said, that is not a license for abuse. Some people think forgiveness means that we have to stay in relationship with the person that hurt us and wounded us. Sometimes forgiveness means you have to sever that relationship and move on. And pray for the person. Someone told me years ago, you can never be bitter with somebody you're praying for. Pray for the person. Ask God to extend his mercy. And you cannot hate somebody again. You cannot hate somebody you're praying for. If you hurt me and I'm taking you, I'm your biggest intercessor, and I'm taking you before the throne of God, I can no longer harbor hate or resentment or bitterness towards you. I have to release you. And so how do you know that you have forgiven? Forgiveness is an interesting thing, because when you truly forgive somebody, it really is almost like that event never happened. And I'm not talking about abuse. And I want to make that very, very clear. I've been a victim of domestic violence. I am not talking about abuse or mistreatment or anything like that. If somebody's abusing you or mistreating you, you need to set a huge boundary between you and that person. This is in the natural course of life. Somebody offends you, somebody lies to you, somebody deceives you, that type of thing. So how do you know that you've forgiven? The number one way you know that you are forgiven is that the peace of God fills your heart. And what used to sting and what used to hurt doesn't sting and hurt anymore. Because when you have bitterness towards somebody, you feel off kilter, you feel upset, you feel agitated, which can feel like anxiety or something. But peace is the number one sign that that person is truly forgiven you. Or you've truly forgiven that person. And the next is, you will accept the person for who they are and where they are at. Change is not necessarily a requirement. Somebody changing doesn't mean, is not the requirement for you to forgive them. You're releasing them whether they change or not. And the last thing is that the love of God fills your heart. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it fills our heart. And when we are in bitterness and unforgiveness, we feel fractured on the inside. When we release that offense, wholeness absolutely comes. There was a situation that, and this is, I can talk about it now because this is 20 something years ago. So there was a situation where when I was married to my husband, he had an affair with my babysitter's daughters, both of them. Had an affair with both of them. And we had moved these people into our home because they had lost their home. We had moved these people into our home because they didn't have anywhere to go. And this happened. And I remember over the years, I would say, you know, we eventually divorced and all that kind of stuff. But I would say, you know, Lord, I forgive her. Every time the pain would come up and I would see her their faces, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I release them. Lord, I forgive them. And I said this for years and years and years. And 20 years later, we ended up in the same church. I had never seen her. I had never seen her at that church before. And the pastor was preaching a message called Great Is Your Mercy. And I ended up running into her, and she looked shocked because I had not seen her in years. She didn't know how I was going to respond to her because she was now with her husband and her child. And she doesn't know if I was going to tell her husband what happened. And I hugged her like she was a long lost friend. There was no anger. There was no guile. There was no hurt. There was nothing left in me because over the years, I kept releasing that hurt. And I hugged her. She introduced me to her husband. She introduced me to her child. And her husband would have never known that we weren't friends in the previous life. And that's how powerful forgiveness is. And I have seen it manifest in my life so many times that my desire is that everyone be free. That there is nothing that has happened to you that God can't forgive, that God cannot heal you from, and that God cannot turn around. And because most of the people that I talk to are marketplace people, God wants to, I want to say it again, God wants to prosper you unlike anything you have ever experienced. We just have to get all this in check, get all this in control so that there is no room for the enemy to hinder what God wants to do in our lives. Amen.